Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready?
Good morning and welcome to the Artist Roundtable. We are streaming live off of Flavor News Radio out of Seattle, Washington, but we are also being featured on Ruddings Radio in London, UK. So I want to welcome everybody and anybody that has a thought, a concern, even a project or a success that you would like to share and put on the table here at the Artist Roundtable by calling in to 347-857-1189. And you know how I do it, you know, at the Artist Roundtable. Until I get that first caller, I'm going to just scroll down my list and play some tracks for you. I just uploaded some new music by an amazing funk man out of the Ohio area. So I'm going to play a piece for you by Black Eyes, and this is Can I Kick It?
With you, I don't care what you say, I don't care what you do.
That was Black Eyes with their piece, Can I Kick It? I see you on the line, caller. I will bring you in, but I want to play one more song before we start this conversation out. Again, welcome to the Artist Roundtable. This is where you have an open forum to put your thoughts and concerns on the table around being an underground independent artist. We've had some absolutely amazing conversations in the past. I've been doing this, about 4 or 5 months now, and this has now been picked up by Runtine's Radio in London, UK. So let's see, I'm going to play a piece by an amazing artist. This is an independent artist out of California that is a fairly successful one, you know, making moves and playing, you know, all across the United States. And this is Matt Cusin, and I'm going to play one of his award-winning songs, and that is One of Those Nights. Listening to Matt Cusin with his piece, One of Those Nights. And this particular piece, Matt Cusin actually won the John Lennon Songwriters Competition, where he won $20,000 for this particular song. And he's been traveling around the United States. He travels with Brian McKnight, and he's doing some absolutely amazing things. But when I had him on my show, the biggest thing that he said, you know, that has made his world work as an independent artist is the fact that, you know, he's out there every day hustling, you know, making, you know, his presence known, you know, letting people know who he is and what he does, you know, singing anywhere and everywhere that he can perform. And he says that's part of, you know, what his success is attributed to, you know. And so, anyway, you know, I think about this all the time. What are the struggles and the frustrations that you as an independent underground artist go through? You know, what does your team look like? You know, what could you do differently? What has worked? What hasn't worked? And that's kind of why I started the Artist Roundtable, having so many sidebar conversations with a variety of artists. So far, we generally pull in the musical talents, you know, to this particular show. But I do want you to know that this is open to any type of art form. Whether you are a visual artist, whether you are a writer, a poet, you know, a chef, whatever it is that is your art form, you are welcome to call in and participate in the Artist Roundtable. I am hoping that we will get some more callers in, but I do have one on the line. But the call-in number is 347-857-1189. Let me bring in my first caller. Good morning. Well, it's morning out here, John D. Green, Sr.
Hey, what's going on, Clay?
I'm having a lovely cup of coffee and wishing you were here to have it with me.
As am I, having a lovely cup of coffee here. We just stepped out of the studio. I'm in-house with a very, very special guest.
So is your special guest also going to participate?
Absolutely, positively. Okay. I'm this guy from My Head Radio. We're doing big things in the D.
So why don't you tell, you know, the listeners, John, who it is, what you do, and who Guy is.
Guy, wow, what do I say about Guy? This guy. This guy. Let's see. Guy is a poet, true to the form of the word. Guy is a poet extraordinaire. Guy makes magic with words. And today and yesterday, I have the honor of working with Guy. We got a 2-day stint locked down in the studio. We just took a coffee and barbecue rib break. Don't judge me. And we're about to go back there and finish up the first of many projects that we're working on together.
Now, see, don't let John fool you. It's honor on this side, too. This man is incredibly talented, of which I'm sure you are well aware of.
I am well aware of it, and I'm looking forward to being able to get a sample of your flavor, Guy. So, you know, once I get that package, you know, I'll let you know and let you know my thoughts. But, Guy, could you tell us, you know, how you and John connected?
We met at the DMAs a few years ago, and, you know, it was one of those things where you shake each other's hand and you sort of feel the connection, and we just thought we would do something, and you know, as life would have it, things fizzled. We sort of lost connection, and then a few weeks ago, we just got back in touch through my wife Angela, who is amazing. She connected us again, and we came over, and you know, kindred spirits.
That's wonderful. So why don't you tell the listening audience who may not know what the DMA is.
Oh, that's the Detroit Music Awards, put out every year by Howard Hurt, who's one of the biggest entertainment attorneys in the country. But they've been doing it now for like 16 or 17 years, something like that. And My Head Radio, although we've never performed anywhere or anything like that since my band all lives in Amsterdam, I've never met them, we've been finalists for Detroit Music Awards the last 3 years, and hopefully we will be again this year.
Amazing, wonderful story. So, you know, has John kind of filled you in what we do here on the Artist Roundtable, Guy?
Well, I heard we've been on the speakerphone now for about 15 minutes, so I heard you sort of explaining it, but if you'd like to tell me more, I'm all ears.
Well, you know, it almost stemmed, you know, from conversations that I have had over months with John and some other artists, you know, where we kind of hash over, you know, concerns, or we talk about the successes, or we talk about the importance of certain aspects that is needed, you know, to be able to make those moves as an underground independent artist. And so I thought, you know what, I have this radio show, why not take it to the airwaves and just see, you know, what might happen. And to my surprise, it really, really took off, you know, very quickly. And, you know, one of the first shows, you know, one of the artists that I work very closely with, Chameleon out of Switzerland, called in, which was a wonderful surprise. And about 2 months ago, I was contacted by a radio station in London who was really digging what we were doing here on Flava News Radio with the Artist Roundtable, and she asked if she could pick it up to be able to air it over there in London. So I alternate the times from 10 in the morning, so next week is going to be 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So I can alternate in hopes to be able to grab as many people as I can. And the earlier show, I hope that, like, the listeners over in the London European area or anywhere else, you know, time-wise, it might work for them to call in. And if you are listening internationally and you have Skype, you are definitely able to call in, you know, off of Skype where it doesn't cost you. So anyway, we just put, you know, thoughts and concerns. Sometimes I come up with a topic, you know, that, you know, I think is you know, some relevance based off a conversation that I've had with somebody during the week. Or sometimes, you know, the artists bring up, you know, their concerns or whatever. And so, you know, John's a very good conversationalist. So, you know, he is a big supporter of this particular show and anything that it is that I'm doing. So my thoughts today, Guy and John, and to those that are listening is, and it's something that John and I talk a lot about it, and it's, what does your team look like? And, when I talk to John, I know his biggest supporter is his wife. So for you, Guy, it sounds like your biggest supporter is also your wife.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I truly couldn't function without my wife.
So tell us more about, you know, what that relationship looks like when it comes to you being an artist. What is it that Angela actually does?
She, you know, artists are very passionate and can be very hard to work with on that business level. And she handles all that stuff. She doesn't allow me to make the important phone calls, which is a good thing. You know, I'll get lost, or I'll get passionate, or whatever it is, and we need somebody organized and level-headed, like, especially if you're dealing with attorneys. You know how attorneys can be. There's a lady attorney in Detroit who we talk to here and there, and she is just absolutely inside and out just terrible, terrible. She goes out of her way to be terrible, and, you know, and she has really, really well, you know, and doesn't, you know, she... Of course, when she gets off the phone, I hear it. But when she's on the phone, she's just the sweetest as pie, and it's pretty funny to watch. Just want real quick. I heard you were talking about the London and UK. That's My Head Radio has a huge promotion going on right now in the UK itself. All the media outlets are being inundated with My Head Radio's second CD in a package. And 24/7 Magazine out of the UK just did a review of our second album, gave it a 3.5 out of 5, and called it the album of the summer. So if you're in the UK, pick up 24/7 Magazine this month, and we're going to be in it.
Wonderful. So now, besides your wife, do you have anybody else that is like somebody that you consider a team player?
John Green is the new team player, but for the most part, you know, what I do is different, and I really don't get, like, I a lot of artists, when they get up on stage to accept an award or something, they thank their family for always standing beside them, and that's not me by any my family has not supported me one bit, and, you know, so the guys out there, the guys in Amsterdam, the main producer, it started as just the two of us, the main producer and I, and then we brought in the singer and the other musician. He does a lot of stuff out there. He handles a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. The musician runs the website, myheadradio.com. The singer, she's just a girl who's going to school and who sings, and, you know, she loves life. But she doesn't really do much. But I definitely see the importance of a team and everything like that, but I personally have never experienced the consultants this way, the stylist, all that other cool, fun, perk stuff that you get when you're a superstar. Mm-hmm. I haven't gotten.
So do you have somebody that is like kind of like a part of a street team type thing for you and your group?
Yeah, me. Me, I'm
you.
Detroit Street. Well, the funny thing is, between my wife and I would say we've easily handed out 10,000 CDs in the Detroit area. You know, I guarantee you ask 20 people, at least one of the people in Detroit are going to have heard of My Head Radio, which is a cool thing. But yeah, we do it all. We're guerrilla. You know, we've crashed malls and done guerrilla poetry in malls. You know. I hosted a heavy metal show where I was the host and did a poem during that, and that was as goofy as could be. You know, I've done all sorts of other things. I've opened for a few different people. Veronique out of Detroit, I opened for her, and just little things like that. But, you know, for the most part, I've always said, and I hope every artist realizes this, that as artists, what we do is amazing, and there's lots of people that wish that they could do that. But in the same token, the people in your team, the marketing person and you know, the stylist and all those people, they do what we can't do, and they do it much better than we do it. And you need to have all those pieces in play. If you really want to be successful and be serious, you really need to have those pieces in play. You know, a lot of it for me is a financial thing. I am completely against the idea of, well, I am the artist, so I have to pay you up front when I'm not getting paid yet. You know, I think we should all do it as a team, and then we all get it on the back, and everybody has a good time with that. But I think you truly do need a team that cares about you, and you know, they all have to do their part, know their role. There can't be any ego or jealousy, and you really have to be a fine, well-tuned machine.
And you hit the nail on the head right there. I think that everybody does need to know, you know, what their position is. You know, and like you said, there are certain people that their strengths are in a certain area, and so that's what it is that they cover. And, you know, maybe once in a while something might overlap, but you got to leave the ego at the door. You know, because if it's something that you believe in, whether you're getting paid or whether you get paid on the back end or whatever the agreement is, you know, whatever you get involved in, feel good about it. Because if it's something that you go in and you end up resenting, there's no purpose there.
Well,
you know,
don't disappear.
Go ahead.
Right. And get bigger and bigger.
Right. So. If you were to gauge, you know, what your success has been as a spoken word artist, you know, it sounds like you're out there doing stuff.
surprisingly, one, I consider myself a poet as opposed to a spoken word artist because I think there is a difference. And I think the spoken word artist, again, may do something that I don't do. You know, it's much more a show and an all-around theatrical experience, whereas I really just want you to listen. Just listen to what I'm saying and the things behind it. But as far as doing, I was telling John when we were downstairs, I've done the open mics and things like that, but it's not conveying what I'm doing. I don't want to be an a cappella poet. I write verses to have hooks sung to them and have music behind it. I want to be a complete package. So that's been really hard too, having a band in Amsterdam. So, but the thing is, you know, the coolest part is having a band in Amsterdam has provided a bunch of challenges, but overcoming those challenges is this neat thing that, you know, it's made it so we've had to do things that are different, like putting out 10,000 plus CDs and pushing that on people and pushing. I mean, I know there's a lot of bands out there that wish they could be in the DMAs and they haven't been, and we have been and we've never performed. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. So it sounds like you must have like a very good hustle and that you have that capability of just getting out there and getting getting that exposure, even if it is like you're crashing a mall or something, you know.
I think that's what it is. I think if it was, you know, I hate talking about it because I feel like a conceited jerk a lot of the times, but I really do. I try to separate myself from the music and listen to it not as it being mine and actually try to find things wrong with it and things like that. And like the second CD we made, I would say the first CD is a 25 years in the making. It's a beautiful piece of art. The second CD was, okay, we figured out what we sound like and what we're doing. Let's make a commercial success. And I really do think it's a great CD. So I definitely think that helps. You know, like you say, when you love what you're doing, you do your part and everything like that, and it really comes together, it's a beautiful thing. And people are attracted to it.
Definitely. And I think that I cannot wait to, you know, get your CD, Guy, because it sounds like you're just, and this is a word that's been thrown out quite a bit this past week here in Seattle, organic. You know, like you're just something that's kind of fresh. You get out there, you do your own hustle, and you do the hustle the right way. I think that, you know, when we talk about hustle, I think that it can be interpreted many ways, you know, and not all hype is good hype. But I think there's nothing wrong with taking pride in what you've created. You know, I think you should. I mean, it's something that is very personal to you, but if you're willing to put it out there to the public, I'll be damned. You got to believe that it's good, you know?
I think it's doing the public any service if you put something out that you don't believe in and stand behind. Then you're just putting out crap.
Exactly.
I'm pretty sure you're going to get your package tomorrow.
Yeah, I think so, too. So I was going to, you know, go down there to the mailbox and all, or I don't know if it's going into the office or whatever, but, you know, I'm going to check today and tomorrow and just, you know, keep checking. But I cannot wait to get that and to be able to experience your flavor. So to everybody that's listening to the show, this is how we do it. You just call in and we talk about whatever you have on your mind. But what I put on the table today is, you know, what does your team look like? Because the reality is when you're an underground independent artist trying to make some moves, you can't do it by yourself. You need some form of, you know, support and backing that helps push you out there. Just like Guy was talking about, you know, he can't do everything. He's the artist, you know. So he has this amazing wife, Angela, you know, who handles the business end, you know, for him. And, you know, from what I can tell in just a short amount of time, in just days that I've known the two of them, you know, they make it work. It's just like with John D. Green Sr., you know, his wife, Donna, you know, she is his biggest fan and biggest supporter. And, you know, she's right by his side through all the moves that he is making as a singer, songwriter, musician, composer, and now actor. And so I think it's important, you know, to put together that team, you know, and that structure, that foundation that can help make those moves. There are some people in the chat room I would really, really love to call in. Noah, you really need to call in, my friend. He's an amazing hip-hop artist from the Virginia area. Poetry is me. Charlotte, you should call in. And Skill, I'm not sure who you are, but you said you're an artist, so please feel free to call in. The call-in number is 347-857-1189. I'm going to take another caller. He doesn't have his hand raised, but I'm going to bring him in anyhow.
Okay.
Stephen Ferguson, you're willing to talk on the show today, right?
Yeah, I could talk for a little bit. How you doing, lady?
Very good. How about yourself?
Outside in a stiff breeze right now. You can probably hear it on my phone. But,
I can.
Yeah, it feels good today, though. 78 degrees in Kansas right now. So.
78 degrees in Kansas? Oh, my goodness. It seems like it was just yesterday you were complaining about the snow.
It did. It snowed like 3 days ago. Today is 78, so, you know, go figure.
Oh, it really did. It honestly snowed 3 days ago. That is crazy.
Yeah.
So, Stephen, have you been hearing the conversation that we've been having?
Yeah, I got on about, I caught about the last 10 minutes of it. And,
okay, so what are your thoughts around, you know, the need for a team?
Nobody can do it by themselves. It's just too much to do. Between the creation of the art, the marketing, the promotion, and all that, I mean, you just can't do it by yourself. If you want to get to a level that a lot of people call successful, you know, success also is different in other people's minds and all. You know, some people just do it just to get their art out there, and two or three people buy it, and that's fine and good. But a lot of people are trying to make this into a career that will sustain them and all. And if that's your goal, you cannot do it by yourself. It's just too much to do.
So, Stephen, I guess you and I have never really talked about this on past shows. Do you have a team around you that helps you push what you're doing out there?
I do. It took me a while to find them, too. I've got people that help me with the promotion and the marketing and all, artwork for the CDs. You name it, I got somebody to help me with it. But I had to, it takes time to develop these relationships and find the people that actually really honestly believe in what you're trying to do, and people that you can honestly really trust to do what they need to be doing. And you just can't go out there, you just can't put an ad in the paper and say, okay, I need a promoter, I need this and I need that, because a lot of people, unfortunately, and you know this for a fact, have their own agendas. So you have to be able to find someone that believes in you, believes in what you're doing, and somebody that you can trust. Because you have to put a lot of trust in these people for them to do what they need to do.
Right. I agree. I think that's one of my problems, I'll be honest, is I have trust issues. You know, and it's like if I put a responsibility in somebody else's hand, I want to know that they're going to follow through, you know, and the way that's going to work, you know, where it satisfies, you know, what I feel the need is for Flavor News or Flavor News Radio. So, you know, it is somebody that you definitely have to trust, somebody that has a great respect for you as an artist and what it is that you need to accomplish by them, you know, being on, you know, your team. So you know what? With that said, Stephen, I'm going to play the new song that you sent me. I've played it a few times before, but I'm going to go ahead and play Rub It Like That by Stephen Jerome Ferguson. Thank you. All right, that was Stephen Jerome Ferguson with his piece, Rub It Like That. So Stephen, how does it actually feel to come onto these shows and hear your music be played?
It's still strange, I'm telling you. It's like, it feels good, but it feels strange. It's like, is that actually me? I mean, did I actually have the nerve to actually put something together and put it out there for everybody to listen to? it feels good, though. It really does.
Yeah. Now, that particular song, Rub It Like That, is off of your new CD, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, and the new CD by Stephen Jerome Ferguson. I don't know. You know, it's funny. When I interviewed you on my show, you know, a few months back, you know, I thought that's what you like to be called because that's how I saw your name online. But you know what? I'll be honest, Stephen. I kind of like saying your whole name. I know you like to go by Stephen Ferguson, but anyway, that was Stephen Jerome Ferguson. Rub It Like That, and you can find his new CD, which is called We Are One, over on Reverb Nation. Correct, Stephen?
Yes, you can. Mm-hmm.
All right. So you know what? Are you going to stay on the line with me, Stephen?
For a little bit, yes, ma'am. I can.
All righty. I'm going to take a couple other callers, though.
Okay.
To join in the conversation with us. All right, caller from the 757 area code. You are on the Artist Roundtable with Stephen Ferguson and Lady Flava.
Case, what's going on? It's Noah.
Hey, Noah. How are you, my friend?
Hey, Lady Flava. I'm fine. Yourself?
I'm very good. Very nice to hear your voice. It's been a while.
It has.
So what do you think about the conversation, the topic that I put on the table, Noah?
A team. Everyone has to have one. That's something that's definitely needed. What type of team? I think it varies. Me personally, depending on what's being done, the team always varies. As far as a publicist, a publicist is always in play. Online promotion or online marketing campaign is always running, so it's always a company handling that or someone handling that. Like currently we're releasing a song for to radio, so we got the radio promoter in play right now. It's a team is we keep there's plenty of strategists around, plenty of advisors, because there's so many ways you can maneuver. But the thing is making the right choices. Seeing that opportunity, a lot of times opportunity may come our way or may come our way and we may not see it for what it is because we expect it to come in another form or in another fashion. So keeping eyes open. Advisors are great to help you see things for what they really are. So, team is definitely necessary. I think each individual has to basically design a team based upon what their goals are, what they're trying to accomplish.
So, Noah, let's back up just a little bit. Why don't you tell the listening audience who you are and talk about, you know, some of the struggles that you've gone through as an underground independent artist and your successes?
That's a long story. I'm an independent artist that's been involved in basically every aspect of the music industry. On an independent level and in some aspects on a major level. I've had to do radio promotions. I've had to I've set up promotional campaigns. I've been a station music station director, royalty paying radio station director. I've been a show promoter. I've been a television. I produce television shows. I've done a lot of things dealing with entertainment. The focus has always been on independent because I've always been an independent artist. So what's going on now? We got a couple of things going on now. We're releasing a new song on radio called "Change the Game." I partnered with my people Slash Blend. He's from the Nice and Smooth background singer from Nice and Smooth. From there, glory days of the late 90s, mid to late 90s. We're trying to impact radio, and we're going to try to actually change. We're going to try to create some type of balance in what's being heard on the radio right now. The music is basically labeled conscious hip hop, and I guess it's conscious for the sense that it's enlightening, it's informative, it's educational. At the same time, it's street. So that's basically what I've been through and what I'm dealing with right now. I've been dealing with music since 98, 99. So I got a couple years ago.
So generally the genre of music that you've been involved with, has it always been hip hop?
Yeah, it's always been. I deal with urban music, but the music that I personally make is hip hop, yes.
Okay.
Yes. And
just out of curiosity, what have you found in the years that you've been involved as the hardest, parts of being an independent artist to what you would call your successes?
All right. You said what's the hardest part about being an independent artist?
That you've experienced.
That I've experienced, the hardest part. I think the hardest part is knowing that you have something that's game changing. Knowing that you have something that's so complete that it could actually change something, but not being able to get it across to the masses, not being able to promote it properly. I think that's one of the most hardest things. Knowing that you can change it, but you don't have not having the reach. Not having the reach to be able to place your music or to promote your music in the avenues that where it needs to be. I think that's one of the hardest things.
Sure. So then what would you say your greatest success has been?
My greatest success, I think, would be my the ability to the connection with other artists. I'm real big on cross promotions, and because of cross promotions, right now I may have 25 to 100 people on a daily basis that's promoting a link that I may have or a particular thought that I may want to get out from a blog or whatever it is that I'm trying to promote. So I think my biggest success. Been my alliances with the independent artists that I've been running across throughout my journey in the industry.
So
I think that's the most valuable thing that I've ran across is other independent artists.
Okay, that's beautiful. I appreciate you saying that. That wasn't necessarily an answer or response that I was expecting, but I love that answer. Now, are you mostly affiliated with artists out there on the East Coast?
Oh, nah. I deal with a lot of different artists. I have a broad base, basically. So I deal with artists all over the world. We connect them with artists all over the world, and we cross promote with artists from all over. So it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing right
okay.
now. We're just trying to see if we can increase these numbers, basically, because I think that's
what I totally understand that.
I think that's what everything boils down to is your numbers. And use the word earlier, organic. That's something that's beautiful right there, because it's something that's real. You know, it's a lot of times online, and see, online that's my biggest platform, because online you're able to travel the universe, but the thing is, online you can also run across a lot of things or get caught up in different hype type things, smoke and mirrors. But any type of organic growth, any growth that's truly organic, is gonna it's gonna definitely pay off, because those individuals are there because they want to be there. They came for a purpose. You know, they're not just gonna be a number in your base. There's going to be somebody that's actually trying to help spread what you're trying to spread the message that you're trying to spread. And it's not because you told them to or you asked them to. It's because that's what they actually support. That's what they like. That's what they choose to do.
Right, right. I, you know, I'm so glad that you called into the show today. No, I've wanted you to come and participate, especially in the Artist Roundtable, because I know that in the past, you know, you have had that desire to step up and try to create a united front when it comes to the hip-hop community, you know, and things like that. And, you know, if you don't mind, I'd like you to speak on that in a minute. But you know what? I'm going to go ahead and give you a taste of Noah Flava, and this is his piece called Freedom.
Cold sign to the coldest grind with the sciences from the older guys. My mind's defining this idea's design and hit. Freedom, my thoughts cause bonds to split. I'm rugged like dungarees and run with thieves and brung and G's with visions of men hung in trees. Control scenes only if you knew, even less seen. Finesse schemes turn dreams to cream. Slow to pull the cash out, known to go the fast route. A punk step up, I'ma knock his ass out. Knowledge with the mask, black lid on a fast track. Knowledge be guard, I'm a class act. I'm too strong and too black. I'ma move even if you slack. I pursue that, daddy do that. Society status shoots up, but these poop puss get souped up. I gotta recoup, what? Traitors, misled by missionaries. So in the wilderness, our position varies. Rivals, we wrote our dictionaries, books, and Bibles. Took our cultures and gave us religion for fighting. First the cave, man, had to break a brave man before he could make a slave, man. Imagine the anguish in a soul when the language is stolen. Lives are sold, wives are sold. Gods get whipped, transported, chained in ships. Families ripped apart, no close relations. Minimum food, no education. Minimum clothing, minimum shelter. Black girls being raped daily, no one can help her. Feeling demoralized, her stomach rise. The results is half crystals pushed through black eyes. This could be our demise, but we rise. On your cross, I burn you. You couldn't destroy me, I'm eternal. I blow up brains like burnt cocaine. The energy is drained if you can't rise above the plane of six. Your wig got peeled back when the steel clap, which opens the seven seal, but you conceal that. And avidly, you get mad at me, cause gradually, I got the cure for my people savagely. Dominant brain cells prevails with more pull from gravity. Meaning, every land I go to, I'm cleaning. Leaving sheets of clothing for the meek and frozen. Brainstorming only leads to reforming. Knowledge is born in. I get deeper than the earth's coring. Possibilities for change I'm exploring daily. I'm growing cause I'm knowing where I'm going. Staying positive because I'm reaping what I'm sowing.
Right, you just heard the flavor of Noah, who is live on the phone with us right now.
Yes,
so I
yes.
asked Stephen the question, you know, after I played his track. What does it feel like, Noah, you know, when you're able to sit back and hear your sound being heard on the radio?
What does it feel like? I mean, it's definitely a beautiful thing. it's definitely a beautiful thing to hear something that you went inside yourself to create, and you're hearing it being played on the radio. That's a beautiful thing.
So now, just out of curiosity, you know, have you had any success of being able to get your music played on, like, mainstream radio?
Yeah, I've had I had a project that was released off of a major indie label, and with that release, the release was called Uptown Downtown, and I did receive a lot of airplay from that project. So yes, I have.
So, but that's a struggle, I would imagine, out there on the East Coast too, to be able to actually get your music played on a mainstream radio station.
I think it's all about numbers right now. Right now, what I'm doing independently, I plan on attacking major commercial stations. And if the numbers are behind you, I deal with promoting the radio. I think it's all about numbers. How many stations you got? How many stations you have spending you? A lot of the bigger stations, the bigger reporting stations, they may not spend you immediately, but it's a way to force them to play you. You got all the minor stations around there, around that station. You have I'm not going to call them minor, but you have the other stations, and that's around that. You, then you can run a force play on major stations and force them to play you. Another way of doing that is by having people contact the radio station. That's why we're doing a massive radio call campaign. The audience actually can control what we hear. The only thing we have to do is actually let them know this is what we want to hear. So it's a couple of ways to do that. I'm not saying it's easy, but it may not be easy, but it's definitely worth the work to hear your song playing through commercial stations.
And so you do find that as, you know, as a major power move when it comes to being an independent artist, to be able to force the hands of the commercial stations to play you.
Is that that's a major power move. As a major artist, that would be a major power move. To force anybody to do anything is a major move. It's understanding the numbers. It's understanding the numbers and it's working them. Utilize them to your advantage. I think it's just about the numbers. It's really all in the numbers. If your numbers can allow you to do anything.
I totally hear you on that, because it's, you know, it's just like even doing the radio show here, you know, looking, you know, on a regular basis, I check the numbers. I check to see, you know, how many, you know, are listening live, to those that are in the chat room, to those that are on the phone, to those that come back and listen to the archives, and that helps me with certain situations be able to sell who it is and what I'm doing. It's part of my brand. Just
right.
Like with my website, you know, going to my website and understanding, you know, what pages are being checked, you know, how often are people coming, from what parts of the world they're coming, you know, the different demographics. And, you know, and I would imagine, just like Stephen, we'll talk about, you know, the importance, in a sense, when it comes to a musical talent, you know, Reverb Nation plays, because it provides you with so many statistical tools to show you who's paying attention.
Exactly.
It really does. Hey, Noah, it's Steve. How you doing, man?
What's going on, Steve? How you doing, bro?
I'm doing all right, man.
That's good.
I just wanted to touch base on you a little bit. You know, dude, you're making a lot of sense, and a lot of people out there need to really listen to what you're talking about, because especially when you're talking about getting, you know, some radio airplay and all that, it's all about numbers, because the radio stations equate numbers to money. And if your numbers are good and all that, then you could do a little something. I had a single that I put out about a year ago that a friend of mine down in Louisiana asked me if it was being played on the radio. And I told her, I said, no, not as far as I know right now. And her and a bunch of her friends, and a bunch of her friends' friends got together. And they dug what I was doing, and they just started calling their local radio shows and requesting the song. 2 months later, they started playing the song on the air.
Yep.
You know, you can work like that. If you got enough people to call in and request you, then sooner or later, someone that program director at that station is going to say, well, who is this Stephen Jerome Ferguson guy? Somebody pull up a website and find out who this guy is and see if we can't play a little bit of his music. And you're right, you can force their hand sometimes.
So then, oh gosh, I had a thought that I was gonna ask both of you, but okay. So you know, and I do understand the fact that when it comes to a musical artist, that you know, the importance of getting on like mainstream commercial radio, because you know, then the number of times that your track is actually played is counted. You know, when it comes to the online radio station. Some of them are set up where it can be calculated, you know, but a lot of us are not set up where it is, you know, that you necessarily know unless you listen to the show, you know, that your music has been played. But, you know, just out of curiosity from you, Stephen, and from you, Noah, do you find that there is any relevance to online radio supporting you as an artist?
As for me, definitely. Online radio is like, it's the greatest thing, because that's where actually the to make the move to commercial radio is the online station that gives you the base.
I agree, definitely.
That's what I found.
Yeah, online radio is not what it used to be. I mean, you get more and more 24-hour online radio stations. They're popping up new ones every day. And a lot of people listen to these guys. And lady, you know for a fact, you got a lot of people that listen to your shows and all. And all those people that listen to your shows, when you play a song by me, they're listening to that song. And when they hear it, you know, it's out there. Then it's done. It's a done deal. So yeah, online radio is, and that's an amazing tool now.
And, you know, and the reason why I ask that, just, you know, not to necessarily have my ego stroked or anything like that, you know, but it's, you know, whatever it is that I do, you know, I want it to be, you know, relevant. I want it to serve a purpose. I mean, everybody knows that I love doing the radio shows, you know, and Stephen's right. You know, my listenership has grown, and, you know, to expand, you know, overseas where this particular show is picked up by a London station was such an amazing honor for me when I received that contact, you know. So shout out to Reading Radios over in London, UK. Thank you so much for picking up this particular show to be aired, you know, over there. So for instance, you know, I mean, we need to be strategic, right? Okay, Stephen Ferguson and Noah's on the phone right now, you know, so we're being heard over there in London, and, you know, might as well play your sound over there, right?
Yeah, that sounds good. Sounds good to me.
Sounds good to me.
You know, so it's like, you know, being able to allow the listeners over in London to hear this conversation to the point of also hearing not only the conversation of the artist, but their particular sound. And, you know, in hopes in the future that we can grow it to where some of the listeners over there in London will call in and also participate in this particular show, because I would love to hear, you know, their thoughts and opinions about, you know, what they go through, and to share those thoughts, you know, with the artists over here in the United States. Noah, have you ever had your music played on a station over in another country?
Yeah, I actually charted in Australia.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. And from there, did that help, you know? Well, obviously, that probably did help you grow a fan base, you know, from Australia in itself, you know, to pay attention to who you are.
Definitely.
I know that artists that I've talked to in the past have talked about the respect and appreciation that they've received overseas is much greater than what they receive in their own hometown. What are your thoughts, you know, on that?
Me personally, I think that especially when you're dealing with hip-hop and you're dealing with the United States, you're dealing with more of a commercialized, it's the bling-bling. It's still a bling-bling era. It's still, everyone is still talking about, I think successful music, successful commercial music over in the United States at this currently is basically dealing with material. You have to basically be dealing with a material item. You have to be talking about superficial things. When you're dealing with anything of substance, I don't think you get I don't think your music is actually appreciated in today's market. I don't think it's actually appreciated as much as something that's dealing with something that's not going to make you think. You know, mm-hmm. something that's just going to take your mind away from everything for a while. Let's talk about having a party or wilding out. And I think that type of music actually does better right now. And it could be because of the pain that we're currently feeling right now. A lot of people are hurting, and everyone doesn't want to, I guess some people in their music, that's where they want to escape from that. With me, that's how I take you directly to that hurt with my music. So I have received a lot of respect overseas as well as stateside. I think the thing is shows like this, it's really advantageous for me to be on shows like this because it gives me a chance to actually talk to individuals and people can it's more than just my music. They can actually hear me. They can listen to the song and then they can hear the conversation. And I think it allows them to better connect with me because they see exactly what I'm dealing with.
You know what? Okay, you just brought up something, and I'll speak on this too. How important is it, Stephen? And then I'll ask Noah. How important is it for an independent artist to really reach out and connect with the fans?
That is probably the most important thing to me. Because I actually, you know, it's funny you ask because I was just thinking about this morning, was that I really don't think in terms of fans. I think of these people as actually my friends. And I try to treat each and every one of them that way. Hopefully, I don't ever get so big that I forget that. Because each and every one of those people that go to one of my internet pages and hit my play button on my music player, or they go to my Facebook page and just hit the like button, you know, they're doing me a favor by doing that. And that's the way I look at it. And the thing is, they don't have to do it. You know, they do it because they want to. And I'm telling you, every time someone sends me an email, they leave me a comment on one of my pages, or they just hit the like button on something that I post up on Facebook or something, I try to respond to it to let them know that I appreciate what they did. Because I honestly really do. If I was doing this just for me, nobody would be hearing the music. But I'm doing it because I want to share something that is near and dear to my heart with as many people as I possibly can. And, you know, guys, you out there listening, if you like friends on my Facebook page or whatever, I really honestly, truly appreciate every single thing that you guys do. Because if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be where I am right now. And that's the bottom line of it. So, yeah, I think it's very important to reach out to your fans and communicate with them and keep that dialogue open, you know, because, you know, you never know. I've had people say things to me in emails that they may not have meant to say what they said, or they may not thought it might have had a big impact, but it actually does. You know, you can learn a lot from what people are actually thinking about your music from what, you know, the emails and comments and stuff that you get. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to keep that line of communication open with everybody. I don't care how many people it is. If it takes me all day to answer all the emails, so be it. You know?
So what are your thoughts on that, Noah?
Yeah, I think he's absolutely correct. I think that's the most important thing is the connection that we have with individuals. Without that, you really don't have much. If individual doesn't, I mean, I think if an individual recognizes you for what you're doing, I think that's the most important thing. They took time out of their schedule to show appreciation. You know, they took time out of their schedule to forward it to someone else or to make someone else aware of what you're doing. That's a beautiful thing right there. The messages that comes in, like, I know personally, I'm like Mr. Motivational. When individuals get drained dealing with this music, they call me, and I suppose to automatically say the right things to get everybody pumped back up. But at the same time, it takes its toll on you. So it'd be some days where I just be like, yeah, I'm frustrated. But then a message may come through or something like that makes you realize why you do what you do, why you go through what you go through. So and we feed off of each other. So I think it's definitely essential that we connect with each other because we have to feed off of one another for growth to take place.
You know, and I appreciate, you know, both of you, you know, sharing what you just shared on this particular topic. And, you know, you kind of opened the door for that one, Noah. But one of the reasons why I wanted to ask this, and I'm not going to call out any names, but there is an artist that I know that is pretty successful, but he does not interact with his fans. And he really doesn't have... you know, I cannot find a fan base for him. He does have a publicist, but I don't see a fan base for his publicist. But he is very well connected around the United States. And
it's not to say that's the only way to make it. And see, I guess that's the unique thing about this. There's so many different avenues you could take and still be successful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just that I know that individuals, the fans, the friends, the ones that's been there from day one, and the ones that daily add on and daily send messages or contact or thing. I mean, that's extremely important to me myself. I think success can't be obtained without them. That's just personally, that's just my personal way of looking at it. Somebody may have found another way. That's positive. That's positive,
yeah,
to them,
and
you know.
If it works for them, fine.
But I guess what throws me, you know, and this particular artist is a mystery to me, and it's kind of like one of those challenges, like, I'm going to find out how he's doing this and if he's really doing something, you know, because... Yeah. Anytime
lady.
I bring up his name, huh?
Now, you know for a fact that's not the only one. Because I know that you've probably heard some mainstream artists, and I'm not going to mention any names or everything, but, you know, you think back over the years, and you have known some mainstream artists where you've listened to their stuff and they got popular, and you look at them and say, how did this person get so big? How did this person get so popular?
But this particular artist is not popular from what I can see. Is not popular. Anytime I mention that particular artist's name, nobody knows who they are. But this particular artist is very well connected. That I know for a fact.
And
so I'm like,
it's not what you know, but
and
you know.
Also, and this artist is also a struggling artist. So it's not like he's paying his way in, right?
Mm.
He doesn't necessarily have money behind him backing him. And he's got a very polished sound, very polished sound. But I'm like, I'm just trying to figure out the story. Because
yeah.
To me, I think fans play a very big role. You know, they are the ones that if they love you, they're going to be your biggest and best marketing tool out there to help spread the word. You know, and I think
that
once
is,
you,
yeah, that's the thing is that that word of mouth from the people that have listened to you and checked you out. I mean, I could sit here all day long and tell you how great my music is, how good I am, what kind of person I am. I could tell you that all day till I'm blue in the face. But it doesn't hold a lot of credibility until you hear it from somebody you're standing in line with at Walmart or something like that. Or your friend comes to you and tells you, hey, you know what, lady, you really need to check out this Stephen Ferguson guy. He's pretty sharp. You know, it carries more weight. I mean, that word of mouth, that's the oldest, most, and still the best form of marketing that there ever could be.
I think so, too,
hear
and,
from
I
other
think
people,
that one, and I think that if your fans, you know, especially in the early days, if they feel like they're connected to you, you know, even if it's not like you're like friends or whatever, but they just feel like there's some kind of connection on top of the fact that they, you know, love what it is that you're creating, then they are, you know, you gain kind of a loyal fan there.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that's going to help you out there. I think that because Stephen, you know this about me, and I don't know if you know this, Noah, but, you know, I spend more time sitting back and watching people. And it's interesting what you can find out about people online just by watching them, who they connect with, how they post things. You know, it's funny to me when I post certain things, how people read and take it. It's like totally in a different direction. But that's interesting to me in how people, you know, interpret even what it is that I post. But, you know, you sit back and you learn a lot, you know, by just watching who other people are connected, who's paying attention to those particular people, you know, and what they find important, you know, to promote or post or, you know, or whatever. And so, I say this all the time. I think that once you say that you are a fan of a underground independent artist, you take on a responsibility, because it's very important to those artists, if you believe in them, that you share them with others. And I think that when I created Flava News Radio and Flava News, that's how I took on my responsibility when I said I love what you guys do. You know, and, you know, so Stephen knows this. I always talk about waving my leopard pom-poms. And one of these days I'm going to get, you know, a leopard pom-pom. But it's something that's really, really important to me.
We go find you some leopard pom-poms somewhere.
I know it. I know that's right, because I need some leopard pom-poms. I do. But, you know, it's something that's important. I think it's so very important in the success of an artist, is that once you say that you believe, it's your responsibility to tell somebody else about them. So we do have another caller on the line to bring in, so let me bring in the caller. Caller from the 253 area code. You are on the Artist Roundtable with Stephen Ferguson and Noah and Lady Flava.
Well, hello, I'm Lady Flava and everyone else. This is Poetry Is Me.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good. So what do you think about what we've been talking about?
I've been trying to catch everything. I've been in the middle of a project, but I've caught most of it, and really good points. You know, earlier on, the conversation covered, you know, what was one's hardest hardships as far as being an independent artist, which, you know, I had to agree with, you know, the whole promoting aspect, being able to reach your necessary audiences that are out there waiting to know you can be really difficult, especially if you're doing it on your own. Which is for me, I'm really new to the putting myself out there in the public light as far as being an artist. Everything I've done previously has been written, and I've been so comfortable with that part, you know, just writing someone else put out the books and everything else. But it's also been a very wonderful journey because you've been able to, the ability to network with people across the board in different genres as well. I'm the a spoken word artist, but being able to work with music, I should say musicians, not with music, but with musicians has been an awesome experience. And I think that's the part of the process that allows us to grow as an artist. And it also challenges us, too. It shows us where we might have some weak points, but we're able to make them stronger. And that's what I love about the promoting aspect. It can be really tiresome as well. But you know, I also want to say, too, you know, your format that you have, providing an outlet for all of the artists to come and showcase their work. It's a wonderful thing. And as mentioned before, you know, there's a lot of internet radio stations popping up daily, giving us those avenues. And I think that, you know, the more that they're able to be showcased, everyone is able to have that great opportunity, but also those tools that are provided can also grow as well. And I think that's where the working out with that cross promotion that was mentioned. And also you had mentioned that, you know, when we strongly believe in an artist, when we say we believe in this artist, we do have a duty to them to continue to promote them, to share with people. You know, that's just like if we were go to church every week and we have this faith that we believe in, we do go out and share, you know, whether we're at home, you know, with our family members, we share with people. So it's the same with our crafts. It's another part of our life that we should always be sharing. So that's my thoughts.
No, and I appreciate what you're saying, you know, because I know that it's not an easy thing. And I think that when you do embark on this, I mean, just even like for me, you know, I mean, I never thought, honestly, that I would be doing radio shows. You know, I was going to call you Charlotte. Poetry is me. You know, just like with you, I don't know if you ever anticipated that you would be a radio show host, you know. So, you know, it's like, you know, when I first started doing the shows, it wasn't necessarily something that I was very comfortable at, you know, but shoot, now you can't get me to shut up, huh? I honestly love doing the shows, and it's not a matter of me liking, you know, to hear my voice because I kind of think I don't, you know, I'm definitely not a polished sound. But, you know, in time and what it is that I do or you do, you know, or even Stephen and Noah, it's something that we have perfected over time. It wasn't something we stepped right in, you know, and had it down packed, even if it, you know, even to the performance level, to the business end. And, you know, the thing that Noah and John and Guy and Stephen, you know, spoke on is there's so much more to being an artist. There is a business side. And there are a lot of artists that really, really don't understand that business side to what it is that they're doing. But I think the beautiful thing for you, Charlotte, is the fact that, you know, you and your husband are a team. You know, you're both artists. You're both business people. You know, you're both exploring how, you know, how to fit into this game and how to make it work. And I would imagine that, you know, the things that the two of you do together, you have found some great feeling of success around, you know, doing what it is that you do as individuals, but also as a team.
Yes, there's been a lot of success that we've had the pleasure of seeing, especially as a team, you know, when it comes to the National Poetry Awards, for example, seeing so many artists who otherwise would have not been able to interact with each other because they're in different circles, come together and unite, and they're supporting each other. That right there is just amazing. And on our individual levels, it's kind of the same thing. You know, we're putting out our work. You know, people are enjoying it. I remember last year when I first started really sharing my work, I was a little bit nervous about it. And I had a fellow poet who hadn't written for a while come to me and say that my work inspired her, and she decided to start writing again. And that right there made me realize that no matter what I'm feeling about my work that day, maybe I was just under the weather, or maybe just the stress of life is getting to me and I'm just not feeling it, but to always still share it, because you never know who on the other end is going to receive it, and it might do something for them.
Sure, definitely. Definitely. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you, for those that are listening, Charlotte is out of the Pacific Northwest. She is, you know, from my area, and it was a beautiful thing because Charlotte and her daughter Haley came to my 50th birthday and performed on stage, and it was just, you know, wonderful. It's something that I will always, you know, remember, and, you know, I appreciate the two of you for, you know, being there, Charlotte, and sharing, you know, because I know that, you know, what it is that you create is something very, very personal, you know, and to get up on a stage like that and perform, you know, is not necessarily the easiest of things, you know, but I mean, just even like for me to be there and get up on the stage wasn't necessarily the easiest thing, you know, but it was, you know, wonderful to have you be a part of that. But I sit and I watch, you know, what you and Troy are doing, and I think that is something amazing because it's very clear that it's not, you know, just about you guys. It's right. Mm-hmm. It's about you guys trying to create another lane for especially spoken word artists to be able to have places to be heard,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I think that when it comes to spoken word, it is a genre. It is that is not known and respected the way that it deserves to be. And, you know, I love what it is that you guys are doing because I think that it is, you know, allowing the spoken word artists and the poets to come together and, you know, create their own lane and create a camaraderie to where, mm-hmm. You know they belong and to help support each other in getting out there. So I definitely, you know, commend you guys for doing all the hard work because you guys got a good hustle going on.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So I was, it's funny, you know, for some reason in talking to you, you kind of inspired me. I was going to actually read a piece I wrote. I can't find it, so you know, it wasn't meant for me to do that, huh? But we've got 30 minutes left in the show, so is there any, oh, you know what, Noah, I wanted to ask you something in regards to the hip-hop thing.
Okay.
You know how, I don't know, was it like a year ago that you were trying to put together a group or a petition in regards to, you know, uniting the hip-hop artists?
That's a conscious music movement tour, basically, a campaign. Yeah, it's still in the works. It didn't go off as well as I thought it would immediately. A lot of people thought it was a beautiful idea, but people, they thought it was a good idea, but a lot of people didn't move on it. So
okay.
It we brought forth a couple of events, and then the cost of it just got overwhelming. So
okay.
we're trying to restructure it now, and we're going to bring it back out.
So why don't you speak on what it is that you're trying to put together?
Basically, all the conscious music movement thing is I'm trying to connect with conscious individuals. We go around and bring forth entertaining shows, events where individuals can come out and they don't have to worry about foolishness. They don't have to worry about the rowdiness. They can come out, have a good time, be educated, be enlightened, and that's it. Now, the twist with this event right here was that it had a community build aspect to it, or element to it. And what that was the first 2 hours, basically what it did, what it's designed to do is bring the community together, different individuals from the community, to address different concerns or issues that individuals are having in the community, forming a panel or forming a body right then to address those issues. Then within 30 to 60 days, we would do follow-up to see if those issues had been resolved or what steps had been taken towards working towards resolution for those issues. That was the whole concept. Well, that's the whole concept of the community build. It's basically going in the communities, getting individuals active. The power are in numbers, and a lot of times we sit back and I be hearing people, man, we can fix, and the problem is this, and the problem is this, and everyone see what the problem is, but who's speaking on the solutions? So what I was trying to do is bring armchair quarterbacks together, bring them out. Look, okay, we know what the problem is. How do we correct it?
Okay. I know this is publicly asking you this, and it's something, you know, you can definitely think about, but I want to put together a 2-hour hip-hop forum, you know, on Flavor News Radio to talk about hip-hop and, you know, what's going on with the different styles of hip-hop that is coming out right now. To the foundation and the culture of hip-hop, to, you know, the artists being willing to have their music, in a sense, publicly critiqued. And I'd be interested if you'd be willing to be one of the panelists.
Definitely. That sounds positive.
Because, you know, I'll be honest with you, I'm new to hip-hop. You know, it's not something that I necessarily fell into, you know, as I was coming up, you know, Sugar Hill Gang or whatever, you know, is my extent. I was more of an R&B soul jazz, you know, fan, you know, as a teenager coming up. And so it wasn't a genre that I moved towards, but it is a genre now as a supporter of artists, you know, that, you know, is either gravitating towards me or I'm being pulled into. And so I do research. I have lots of conversations with hip-hop artists and wanting to understand the styles. It's very clear to me that there is a certain style that I particularly am drawn to and respect and appreciate and enjoy. And there is another form that I'm not. You know, there are artists out there talking about they're good, they're hot, you know, they're dope, they're this, that, and the other. And I'm sitting there listening to it, and I'm like, who told you that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
and I'm like, is it? So, you know, so the reason why I decided I'm going to do this show called Let's Talk Hip Hop is I just want to hear, you know, some people's opinions from around the United States who've been in the scene, you know, and even if they're new, just to open up a dialogue amongst, you know, the people in this scene. I'm hoping to get somebody who does the charts and really has been working in the hip hop scene for, you know, since the beginning, to participate as a panelist, you know, and just, you know, a different variety of people to them. I already have some music that artists are starting to submit to me that are willing to actually publicly have their music critiqued. And I'm just, you know, I'm hoping that the panelists that come on will speak open and honestly and will critique open and honestly.
Yeah, that sounds positive. That sounds positive.
And the reason why Noah and Stephen that I wanted to do this is that it's something that may help me understand and hear the music differently in hearing the opinions of those in that particular genre of music, or ones that have a history or a great, great appreciation for it. It may help me, because one thing I've learned, you know, like the conversation that I had last night with Baron Parker, you know, who's a musician, spoken word artist, you know, in hearing music, you know, when you talk to somebody like Stephen Ferguson, who is a musician, and he explains to you about the sound that he's creating, you hear it differently than just turning on the radio or putting in a CD and just listening to it. When you know somebody who is creating that, it takes it to a different level of how you experience it. And so that's something I think of would be good for myself. So there's part of me that's doing that on a selfish level, but I also just really think it's important to open up a safe dialogue around this particular genre.
Yeah. That sounds like it'll work, because, you know, out of all the different genres of music out there, and lady, it's a reason that you're being drawn to hip-hop, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Hip-hop, I mean, out of any other genre of music you could probably even think of, it's probably the most rawly emotional music that you can listen to. You can really express exactly how you feel, exactly what you think, and there's no doubt in your mind what the artist is trying to convey. It's a very powerful. It's a very powerful genre right now. Hip hop has inspired a lot of young people to go pick up an instrument or just go pick up a microphone and just, you know, try to work their way out. It is, you know, I say, you know, you could do it, but better you than me, because this is going to be a pretty touchy subject for you. I'm going to tell you that right now.
I do realize, I think it will be kind of touchy. And as much as I would like to think that even in my own hometown that, you know, hip-hop community is united, I know that it's not. I've seen the differences. I've seen the cliques within the hip-hop community here. And, you know, just in the very different styles of sound, you know, to the production, to, you know, not really clearly understanding the motives and the mission and purpose.
You know what I think would help? See, in order to understand certain things, you have to be a part of it. If you're not a part of, if you're dealing with, some music is heavily influenced by gangs. If you're not a part of a gang or the gang culture, you're not going to really understand that, regardless of how it's explained to you. You're not going to understand it because you're not of that culture. You're not from that. Mm-hmm. You're not from that gang type or the drug culture. So it's certain music is I think that it's designed to feed individuals that that's within that same culture.
I totally hear what you're saying, and I appreciate what you just said, Noah. But don't you think that if there is a dialogue that even says that, like an artist that is a rapper that is more gangster rap or whatever, says that and says that that's his target, that's who he's, you know, going after, those that understand, you know, what it is that his, what he's creating, then that brings an understanding, right?
It brings an understanding. It should bring an understanding that that's who he's making that music for. Now, by listening to the music, are you gonna would it actually be understood why he said what he said, or why is he talking about this, or why is he going into that? That may not necessarily be understood by an individual that's not living gang life. So
right. Right. But I guess, you know, for me in doing this particular show, it's just, you know, we've had dialogue around hip-hop and what is hip-hop, what's not. You know, there are, you know, those that call themselves conscious hip-hop artists that are not having appreciation for the commercial hip-hop. You know, there are artists that are creating because they believe it's going to sell versus it's their style and what they really like doing. You know, because they see Drake doing something or they see, you know, whoever doing and making money. So they, you know, want to copy that, you know, that style, but not even understanding what was the lane that Drake took to get there, you know. And are you willing to put in that work, you know, that he did, you know, to get recognized for, you know, his style or whatever, you know what I mean? And
right.
So I just, you know, I just, even if it's something I will never understand, grasp, or appreciate, I think for me, a respect and appreciation can come out of an open, honest, safe dialogue around it. So that the thing is that I put it out there, you know, that there is a certain type of, you know, hip hop I will not play on my show, and the reason being is because I have a certain listenership. Whether it be age group, whether it be, you know, ethnic group, whatever it is, there's a certain target that Flava News Radio hits. But it doesn't mean that it doesn't have a lane to be heard, you know?
Exactly.
So it's not a matter of that Lady Flava's hating on you. It's a matter of that's not what Lady Flava's going to play on her show.
Yeah, it's not the proper format.
And so I would like, you know, the artist to also understand that there is a place. And you need to research and find who it is that will appreciate and play your sound. It doesn't mean that there isn't somebody out there. And especially when it comes to online radio, you know, we're pretty free about being able to do what we want, you know, play and say what we want. There is some censorship that goes on periodically when something's reported, you know, but, you know, on a whole, we have the freedom to do what it is that we do want to do on online radio. So if somebody wants to play something that's more hardcore and has, you know, foul language on it, there's pretty much a freedom to do that. So anyway, I also want that understood too, but I have a big draw from hip hop artists, you know, and it's just interesting to me, you know, and some of the music that I get, you know, because it's like, okay, you obviously don't know me. You know, like, first of all, have you even looked at my picture? You know, like, do you think, like, just look at me. Just look at me. You know, you stereotype it, whatever, you know. But just look at me. Do you think that that's something I'd want to listen to? But I think my interest, it's very challenging for me, you know, Stephen and Noah, because it's something I want to have a respect for, whether it's something I will ever really embrace as something I'm just going to play in my car or my house all the time. Maybe not,
what?
but I want to have I want to have an appreciation and a respect and just an understanding.
Yeah, I think you can respect the music without respecting every individual artist as a whole. And I think you have to do that with every genre. It's going to be different artists that you're going to respect more than others. It's going to be different songs that you like more than others.
Oh, sure, of course.
And I think that's just the balance right there. You're not going to ever like everything that comes your way, but at the same time, that doesn't mean that you don't respect the form as a whole, because you don't like a couple of songs.
Right. And the thing that I have appreciated in the years that I've been, you know, working with a variety of art forms and artists is that it's opened my eyes to have appreciation for other genres. You know, I started out as a book reviewer. And so, you know, to be honest, I was really, as just an avid reader, I was drawn to kind of drama, maybe kind of action, you know, story or whatever. That was, when I went to the bookstore, that's what I would buy. But when I became a professional book reviewer, then it was, I decided to open myself up and say I would be willing to read any genre, you know, just because I wanted to see. And in doing that, I found out there were other genres of literature that I really, really grew to love. So when I never in my life thought I would be getting involved with, you know, musical talents. And so I tried to take that same approach, you know, to be open to, you know, certain, you know, to all genres of music and sound and stuff. And even though there is, you know, certain styles that are not particularly my favorite type of music that I would listen to on a day in and day out basis, I've learned to have an appreciation definitely for the quality of the recordings and the production. I can definitely hear the difference, you know, in whether somebody, because I believe that somebody can create some fine recordings in a home studio. So it's not a matter of saying they went into a professional state-of-the-art studio. It's just, you know, just being able to tell the difference in the quality of the productions I've definitely learned and grown in that particular area. But you're right, Noah. I mean, it can come, you know, from anywhere that you're going to be drawn to one style of music or, you know, or a particular artist. I mean, it's just like, you know, two of the artists that I work closely with are hip-hop artists, strangely enough, you know, and I have been very successful in getting their music played around the world, you know. So it's so funny to me because I never thought in my life, you know, I'd be working with a hip-hop artist, you know, or a group or whatever, you know. So anyway, you know, I appreciate you allowing me, you know, just even having this particular dialogue because I think it's something that's important. I think that, you know, people need to be open, you know, to that. And I'm not saying that this is something I'm going to do on a regular basis, but, you know, I just want to see how it would go. And there are some people that are showing interest. And, Noah, if you're interested in being a part of that, I would love for you, you know, because I know that you've been in this game for a while.
Yeah, I'm a lyricist. I love lyrics. So, and that's basically the point that I'll be looking at listening.
Okay.
I love lyrics. I love hip hop, but I love it when it's done right though.
Mm-hmm.
And you said something earlier about individuals creating. See that a lot of individuals aren't creating now. They're just making music. They're not creating. They're not going within themselves
mm-hmm.
and creating it. That's the difference between a piece that emotionally connects you with it. That individual went inside themselves and they poured out themselves. They went inside themselves and they created something, opposed to just this guy's hot guy on the radio. Let me make a song in his style, or let me jack his style and do a song this way, and then I'm gonna do a song this way, and then I'm gonna do a song this way. It's like the originality has left. Everyone is clones because they this guy he's signing all types of contracts and has all types of endorsements and licensing coming his way. So let me try to sound similar to him, not like him. I'm a sound sort of like him, but I'm a keep it with my flavor. I be hearing a lot of individuals mm-hmm. say that, and I don't think that works. I think that when you lose your originality, you lose your chances.
Yeah,
you know,
Noah, you know what, that's a good point, man, because you hear a lot of that in just about every genre of music. And I think it goes back to something, lady, you touched on earlier. It's about your motivation. I mean, what are you actually doing this for? And your sole motivation, if your only sole motivation is to try to make money and get rich, then you ain't going to put none of yourself in your music. You know, you're just going to go out there and try to make something that you think is going to be popular and sell. And trust me, if you're just doing it just to get rich, first of all, you will probably have to work three times as hard as the person is putting their heart and soul into it. And it just won't be a part of you. It's just going to be another job for you. And if it's anything like anybody else's regular jobs, you know, most people, they have a regular 9-to-5 job or whatever. You know, they're thankful they have it, but they wish they could be doing what they really want to do. So it'll just turn into a job for you, and if you don't make the money that you think you're going to make, then you're going to end up just quitting and giving it up anyway because it's you're not putting your heart into it. I have worked on my music for a bunch of days, 18 hours in a day. But it doesn't feel like it because it's not work to me. It's what I like to do. I got to go. I got to take this phone call, okay, guys?
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Stephen. All right.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Well, I have, you know, really enjoyed and appreciated, you know, the dialogue, you know, Noah. And I'm so glad that you called into the show today. And there's great value in what you shared because you've come from a different perspective than anybody else who has called in to the Artist Roundtable, you know, and shared their thoughts, you know, on any genre, not just saying, you know, the hip-hop genre or whatever. If there's anybody else, we've only got about 7 minutes left, but if there's anybody else that would like to chime in right quick before the show closes out, the call-in number is 347-857-1189. But I really, really love doing this particular show. I never really know who's going to call in and what perspective or thoughts that they're going to share. And that, I think, is the beauty of it because I think that from all standpoints, you know, you have a valid insight, you know, valid concerns and great successes that you can share where somebody else may say, you know what, I really hear what that person's saying or, you know, let me call in and ask a question so I can understand better. So, Noah, thank you so very much for calling in today, my friend. You know what, and you really need to send me some more music to play.
Okay, well, that's done.
Yeah, you need to because I need to expand my Noah, you know, catalog on Flavor News Radio.
Get that sent over right now. Get that sent over immediately.
Okay, so just you know, just out of curiosity, what are you working on right now, Noah?
Radio call campaigns, March 28th through April 6th, we're doing a radio call campaign. I'm trying to get everyone to call their local radio station, tell them that they want to change the game. That's the name of the new single. The artist is Noah, featuring Flash Blend. The project is released off Ninth Dynasty Records / Island Def Jam. So we're trying to we want to change the game. So March 28th, that's what we're dealing with.
Okay, so you know, email me that information too. And
okay.
I'll put that in my newsletter, my upcoming newsletter. So you know we can help you push that around the United States, you know, because I think that you're deserving, you know, of you put together quality, you know, pieces. But you know you've been at it, you know, and you deserve to have, you know, people behind you to help push you forward, you know. So what else do you have going on besides that?
That's what we have currently going on. We're about to we're about to release a conscious music movement mixtape. We got three artists. That's myself, of course. R&B artist named Adrena, and then we have another R&B artist, Flash Blend. We're gonna be reaching out to more artists in the next month and a half. We're going to be trying to connect them with other conscious artists that basically have the same cross promotion mentality.
Okay.
We're going to see what we can do with that. And of course, with the conscious music movement tour, we're revamping it, but we're still running live with that. So we got a couple of things over here on the plate.
And the tour is going to take place on the East Coast?
The tour is going to take place. We're going to come out there. We're going to come out there to Seattle.
Are you coming to Seattle?
Yeah, I'm coming to see you. We're going to do it in multiple locations. The way we were doing it at first, it was basically focused on the East Coast. Now, basically, what I'm doing is focusing on where individuals are, where the support is. If we get enough individuals in a particular area, that's where we're going to be at.
So,
okay.
But we got the company that's really going to go live with that promotion. That promotion is not going to start until till May, the end of April, May.
Well, you know, Noah, when you get that particular CD, you know, completed, I think that you should send it to me so that you and some of the other artists can come on the show and you know, do a show that's just focused on you guys.
Oh, that's beautiful. We'd definitely be there.
And, you know,
definitely,
and again, I think that, you know, don't forget to send me some music so we can help you try to create that fan base out here in the Pacific Northwest. Because I'm gonna send you the two artists that I work with out of Seattle.
Okay.
They're conscious hip-hop artists, so I'll send you their pages on Facebook so that you can connect with them also. So I want to give a shout-out before I close out the show. Therese from All Media Artists website, she is the mama of that particular website. She is in the chat room. Thank you so much, Therese, for taking the time out to come into the chat room today on the Artist Roundtable. I do a feature show for the All Media Artists every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time that only features the artists that you can find over there. So that is a site for independent artists that are really ready to make some moves. Also, Letty Marmalade, I want to send my love and respect to you for tuning in and being in the chat room today from Germany. Love the respect that you also give and the support that you give to playing the independent artists, you know, off of your show and supporting them in Germany. And so, see, Noah, you just never know who might pop into a Letty Flavor show. We got Germany in the house right now.
That's a beautiful thing, international.
See, I needed another Noah track to play. I only have that one uploaded, so yeah, make sure that you send me some more tracks so that I can play them on my, you know, variety of shows, because that's something I just love to do, especially when it comes to artists that I really, you know, I feel good about. It's easy for me to wave my leopard pom-poms, you know, for you guys. So, and I've been a fan of yours ever since I thought you were a fan of mine, you know.
Oh, come on now. We go back like 3 years now. We go back.
I know. Noah was part of my social network over on Flava News, and I have to tell you, he was one of the, he probably still is, but he's one of the most busy, you know, artists out there and making sure that he promotes himself. And I don't know how many websites you said that you were on, Noah, but I was very grateful that you were a part of mine because it showed me a great hustle, you know, and it showed me the hard work and dedication that you put in, you know, to what you do. And so, I really, really love and respect that about you. But it is time for me to close out the show. I thank you so much, my friend, for calling into this show. Please send me some tracks, and then I will send you the information about when I'm going to do the show called Let's Talk Hip Hop.
Thank you for having me. I'll definitely get that music over to you, and I will definitely not be a stranger.
All right, all right. Appreciate that. So I want to thank everybody who tuned into the show live. I want to thank Ruddings Radio over in the UK for picking up this particular show and loving what it is that we're doing on Flava News Radio. So, again, we are streaming live out of Seattle, Washington on Flava News Radio, but we are also being featured on Ruddings Radio over in London in the UK. So I want to wish you all a wonderful day. We will be back next Thursday at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time to hit those nighttime hours and be able to pull in some people that weren't able to come in today. So take care, God bless, and we will be with you soon.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
I know you're with me. Are you listening? I know you're with me.